Welcome to the Son of a Preacher podcast. Please sit back and listen to the thoughts and musings from sermons that were first brought to the pulpit 4, 5, even 6 decades ago. I am GW, and I am the Son of a Preacher. I am so happy to be talking to you all again today. Dad first brought this message to the pulpit on January 27, 1957. It was at a Youth Day Sunday service in Iowa. I was without question sitting in the second pew with my mom and my sister. I was 6. The topic was, Be Strong, and the scripture was from 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 14th verse. And it says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the wickedness. Now, be strong. Dad was talking this day about being strong in the Lord, having the strength of youth. He was talking to all the youth in the church. It was a Youth Day sermon. And he was providing that day, the youth, a story of how in 1957, that it was important to him that the youth understood how that they needed to be strong in the Lord and to grow up with the Lord. Interestingly, if you talk to the average youth in that sermon, that service was 15 years old, then that 15-year-old is 80 years old today. 80 years old. That's pretty amazing. That youth that he was talking to has lived his entire life. He's gone through the ups and downs. He's raised children. He's had marriages. He's had divorces, perhaps. He's had deaths in the families. He's had births in the family. He's had everything that you're going to live for and live as you go through life. He's had professional success. He's had professional failures. Everything that you have in life, he will have had by the time he's 80 years old. And probably about half the people that he's talking to in that particular time as the youth of the church are not even alive today to even hear the speech because they've already passed on and joined the Lord. Now, it's just amazing to me that when you look at the words that he was saying to the youth in that day, 65 years ago, at those words in general, well, they're still true today. Be strong in the Lord. Now, Dad gave the illustration that he had just gone to a talk, and the talk was with the local high school football coach. And it was probably at a Kiwanis club. And he had listened to the football coach talk about how the football team had played in 1956. And what the hopes were for the team in 1957. Now, that particular high school team won most of its games, and when you looked around the town that they lived in, a fairly large town in Iowa, and you looked around the town that they lived in, well, there were a lot of people that were an important part of the business world and the business fabric of that town. And they had played high school football or high school sports or had participated in some type of high school event. And they had learned, and they had learned a lot of things about the strength of the high school football game, the strength of an athletic team. Now, they weren't necessarily the stars of the team, but they were the people who played on the team and fully came to appreciate the power and the strength that you can have as a team, as you work together to further whatever it is that you're trying to do. And this is what we're supposed to do with the Lord. We're supposed to work together. And we do that as well as we possibly can. There's a few stories in the Bible where youth really stands out. And one of them is David and Goliath. Now, I think we're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath. David came out there with his sling and his stone, and he had the sling with him, and he was able to kill the giant Goliath. And you know, the giant Goliath, he had come out of for the Philistine army, and he was the biggest man in the army. Recently, I was able to listen to a TED talk, and Malcolm Gladwell was the person who was giving the talk. And he went into great detail on what they had found out about the Battle of David and Goliath, and how what most people just routinely think of that, is not exactly the story that comes out with a little bit of research and a little bit of scientific background. Now, it's interesting in a lot of different ways. Now, people kind of assume that when you look at David and Goliath, that David was really the underdog in this particular battle. And in many ways, if he had fought the battle that Goliath wanted to fight, he would have been the underdog and he would have probably been killed rather rapidly. But he didn't find it. He didn't fight it the way that Goliath wanted. Goliath was a giant of a man. He was 6'9" tall in a day that was probably a foot and a half taller than the average person. So because of his great height, it is thought that he probably had some genetic defect, and he had a disability that caused him to be that big. And they said that he had to be led out to where the battle was going to take place. Well, if he's going to be led, well, that means that he's probably not very mobile. He would be very deadly in a close quarter combat. And he was there, but he was not mobile. And he was weighed down with all this personal body armor. You know, he had the latest in the fighting gear that was available at that time. And he said several times, you know, things that make you know that his eyesight was probably not very good either. And he was probably suffering from double vision. And he was probably short-sighted. So not only was he not very mobile, but he couldn't see who it was that he was fighting until they got very close to him. And the other thing that I found out in the years that they've researched this is, well, having a sling and a rock was actually a type of combat. I mean, people picture David as just the shepherd. But the fact of the matter is that in the armies in those days, there were groups that were relatively common for the slings and the rocks, and they would be able to throw them much further than you could just do it otherwise, and much faster, and in some cases probably even as far and as accurately as an arrow. So it was not uncommon for the armies of those days to have a section of their forces that were basically slings and rocks. So David, well, in addition to probably being part of that group, he had also grown up taking care of sheep. And as a shepherd, he would be out there in the field by himself. And as he took care of the sheep, he would need to take care of them if they were going to be attacked by a lion or if they were attacked by any other type of animal or people. And he had to protect the sheep. And he did that with a sling and a rock. And I have to think that as he spent his day out there taking care of the sheep, that there were long periods of time when the sheep were just grazing on the hillside, and he and probably his trusty dog, well, were just out there taking care of the sheep. And there wasn't a lot else for him to do. So he would probably get in a lot of practice with that sling and that rock. And he would probably get very accustomed to being able to hit targets very accurately because of all this practice. So when you look at David and Goliath going out there in that particular way, and with Goliath expecting a close quarter battle, and David going out there going, there's no reason for a close quarter battle. Why should I just go up and offer myself to him? I have no way to win that battle. But if I can get one of these rocks and throw it accurately at a specific point where his battle armor is weakest, even from a great distance, and hit him right between the eyes, then I can win this battle. So the youth of 1957, and the youth of today, well, they have decisions to make, just like David did. You know, how am I going to fight this battle? And the decisions that the youth of today have to make, well, it's largely up to them. Now, parents can influence a person's decisions up to a point in a person's life, and friends will influence. And oftentimes, those friends, the peers, have a far greater influence than what the parents do. But they're decisions that all young people have to make on whether or not they're going to be strong for the Lord or not. Remember that as a youth, you are physically strong as you're ever going to be. You can run up and down a field. You can jump higher than you're ever going to be able to jump again. You're going to feel better than you're probably ever going to feel again. It's just the way of being a youth. And if you don't think that's true, well, go on and take a look at the people who are playing full court basketball and how they're running up and down the court. And then look at the people who are playing half-court basketball And you notice that those people playing half-court basketball appear to be about 10 or 20 years older than the ones who are playing full court. And they're not running up and down the court nearly as much, just having a good game. But they're just not as young as the people who are running all the time. The other thing, as a youth, is that your mind is sharper than it's probably ever going to be again. The time that you have spent in school sharpened your mind so you're able to make decisions quicker and think clearer and be able to think better than you're probably ever going to be able to again. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that you don't have all that life experience yet. And so even though you can think clearly and you can make quick decisions, you don't have the life's experience to always base that on to make the best decisions. And so when you look back as an old person and you say some of the decisions that you made, well, you might sit there and go, wow, maybe should have thought about that a little bit longer. Now, young people, they have to pick the path they wish to follow. And ahead of them on those paths, they're going to find older men and women who have lived through some of the same sort of things. And they're going to be able to get advice. They're going to be able to have a mentor. They're going to be able to have someone kind of guide them through their life. But remember, as we look at this, you have to take a look at all the youth that are out there today, whether it be 1957 or whether it be 2023. We can't imagine a time when you're 15, 18 years old that you're going to be 80 years old. You can't imagine what that's going to be like. But the youth will always be with us. Today's youth, tomorrow's adult. Tomorrow's adults are the next day's old people. And they live among us today, and they make our path of adulthood tomorrow. And the youth has to choose their own path in life. And you got to remember that one day, you know, many, many, many years ago, 2,000 some years ago, there was a very young man from Nazareth. They called him Jesus, and he walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and this young man has been beckoning young people to follow him from that time until this, and we need to encourage the youth of the day to follow that young man from Nazareth, to be strong in how we live our life for the Lord. And as we look at what happens in Congress, in our government, in our country, in our world over the last few months, it's pretty obvious to me. It's important that we keep praying for our leaders, that they be able to guide us in a stable and a sane manner. May the Lord bless you, keep you in peace. I do want to ask everyone listening to this today to help spread the word about this podcast. Help me continue to keep my Father's work for the Lord alive. Please tell your friends and your church groups about this podcast. Share it on social media. Let people know that these inspirations are available. There's a new book available on Amazon titled Throwing Ink. It was a compilation of inspiration based on Dad's work. It was written by me, G.W. Stark.